Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Hey there, I am Dawn Westmoreland of the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. What if somebody told you to stand up, speak out against workplace bullying? Would you know where to go to? Would you know where to find a resource? Well, today's guest is Catherine Matisse-Sundell, and she's the president of a consulting and training firm called Civility Partners, and she's been successfully providing programs and building positive workplaces since 2007. Hey, welcome, Catherine.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. So we've talked before in the past, and we both are aware we're both working in the bullying arena. And we were sharing before we even got going that a lot of people are showing interest in the bullying arena, especially the workplace arena. So tell our listeners, what got you into this arena, you know, this standing up against workplace bullying? Where's the beginning of your story?
Yeah, so it was kind of kismet, the stars aligned, and that's how I got into it. I was the director of human resources for a nonprofit organization and found myself working with a bully, and this person was just difficult to work with. He was my peer. He was also a director. He was difficult. He yelled. He clearly didn't trust people. He had a lot of turnover in his department. He was definitely very sort of power hungry. Mm-hmm. I felt like he even was pretty rude to the president of the organization, our boss. And so I experienced, being at the receiving end of his behaviors. And so I felt targeted by him as well as many other people in the office. But then as a director of HR, I was also experiencing bullying from that aspect as well, where I was dealing with people looking to me for help, people coming to me when they'd had nasty interactions with him, people looking to me to get his behavior to stop. But he was my peer, and so I was looking to the president to get the behavior to stop, and the president would just have that typical reaction, that's just how he is, don't let it bother you. Don't worry about it. Be the bigger person. And so I was really caught in this place where it wasn't ever going to get better. And during that time, I started getting my master's degree at San Diego State and, had a couple classes where bullying really fit the bill in terms of a topic I could talk about in both classes for my paper. And it was just during that paper that I was writing for these two classes, I just became pretty fascinated by what I was reading and realizing that's what I was going through. And my boss's reaction was pretty common. And I just became pretty fascinated and have been obsessed with it ever since. So that's how it all happened. And that was over a decade ago.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how we all have a story, but your story propelled you to get out there and make a difference and help people. So thanks for sharing that with us. So let's fast forward, and that's your beginning of what propelled you forward. And sometimes I say bullying can lead to positive outcomes. Look what you're doing today. It's very exciting work. So fast forward, you just wrote a book, Stand Up, Speak Out Against Workplace Bullying, Your Guide to Survival and Victory Through 23 Real Life Testimonies. What's that about, your book?
Well, I didn't write the book. I collected the stories along with a few other people. So that actually has quite a history as well, this book that just came out. The idea for the book actually came to me over a decade ago, way back when. So what happened was I got out of grad school and I had been so focused on looking at bullying through academic research papers and all this stuff because I was in graduate school. As I got out of grad school, I started looking in mainstream online, which I had not done before. I had really been focused on researching it from the academic place. And so I turned online and started Googling and just kind of seeing what the world was saying about bullying out there in the World Wide Web, and joined chat rooms and things to just see what people were saying. And by this time I was out of that, my own bullying situation, and had moved on. I was working for a startup tech firm by this point. And I just saw a lot of really sad stories, a lot of people talking about how awful it was. And I was in these chat rooms where someone would kind of log in and say, I'm being bullied, what do I do? And the answers were all very dire. The answers were always, you know, get out now, HR doesn't care about you, your life is going to be over. And so it was just really this real awful picture being painted. And I was saddened by that. And so I thought, we need to put some different stories out there. We need to change the conversation. But at the time, I wasn't really in a position to be able to do that. And then, and also the academic research talks a lot about coping. That's the word they use, which means to put up with, right? So there really isn't a lot out there on how to not only survive, but feel victorious and feel like you've changed for the better. So that was when the idea came. It was a long time ago. And then I hooked up with the National Workplace Bullying Coalition. I'm one of the four founders, and turned to them and said, hey, this is an idea I've had for a long time. What do you think about us doing this as a coalition? And the board was all on board with it. So we started reaching out and trying to find other people who had great stories about survival rather than those going around telling people the world's over, you know, or their life is over.
Yeah, I mean, I laugh, but it's not really that funny when people are so miserable that it's destroying their mental and their physical health. It's a terrible thing. So I congratulate you on getting that book out. I'm familiar with the book, and I know that it took a little while to get out, but it's now out in the public. And at the end of this episode, we'll talk about where we can get that from. So you've gotten out there, Catherine. You've spoken around the world on workplace bullying and positive workplaces. Tell me about your experience. Where have you been seen? What are you doing out there?
So I am from the world of HR. Those are my people. So that's usually where you can find me. I've been speaking at HR conferences for quite a while now. I started Civility Partners in 2009. And so I speak at a lot of HR conferences to get business, you know, from my consulting firm. But it's eye-opening, and that's one of the things that's frustrating for me, is that I do see, you know, back to what I'm seeing online, a lot of stories about how HR didn't help them. HR doesn't, you know, if you're feeling bullied, HR is not on your side. And I can't speak for all HR professionals, but I have spoken to probably around 30,000 HR professionals or more over the last long while. And my experience is that they do care. They just don't know what to do about it. They don't know how to fix it, you know. And so part of my job as a consultant is to partner with HR and help them figure out ways to get the CEO to care. Because when I think back to my own situation, I was that HR person who couldn't help. People would come to me for help and I couldn't help them because I didn't have the president's blessing to help. You know, he just told me to ignore it. And so I was that HR person that people felt like wasn't on your side, you know, but that really wasn't the case. So yeah. My job is to help educate companies and organizations about the damage it causes and then help them fix it. And that's what I'm out there doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can appreciate what you're saying. As an HR expert myself, I know all the time people are frustrated with HR people, and because they don't think they have their back at the work, but oftentimes HR personnel are part of management. So I can understand you being bullied or feeling bullied and such. It's almost a rock and a hard place, wouldn't you say?
Oh yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is I certainly understand why the stories out there can be so awful, and I understand why many people feel like their life was over because they did try to get help from HR, and HR's hands were tied. And you know, I certainly see quite a bit of that. I've had two times where an HR professional called and told me that there was, you know, it was pretty awful, so awful that there was suicide on their work site because of bullying. And they still didn't get the C-suite's attention to resolve it. So, you know, it's I definitely understand. But so I see my role on this planet as trying to just help push on changing the conversation as much as I can. And the more I can educate business about the damage and that this kind of stuff can happen, you know, that people get PTSD from being bullied, and that's not okay. That's unethical, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the more I can educate businesses about the damage it causes, the more likely I'm able to step in there and help them make a change.
So. Right. Yeah. So you have an HR background. When you reach out to companies, corporations, agencies, do you have any problem connecting with their company? Because I know sometimes another person coming in to tell HR how to do their job can be difficult. What's your experience on that?
Well, usually HR is reaching out to me because they're at their wit's end. So I speak to a lot of sort of desperate HR professionals who have tried to resolve it on their own, or they're just not sure how to resolve it. So a lot of people are, you know, I'm out there speaking, so they know who I am, and then they come to me and ask for my help because they're not able to fix it on their own, and they realize they need an expert. So I think HR is happy to partner with me to help them resolve a problem that's causing them a lot of angst because they know they're not able to resolve it.
Yeah. And it's kind of amazing that people wait to the last minute or to their, you know, at their wit's end, as you pointed out, to ask for help. And so some of your past clients have included Chevron, the American Red Cross, the military, that's broad, and several universities, hospitals, government agencies, small businesses, and nonprofits. So you go in and you work with the HR personnel. Is that what you're doing? Or are you working with leadership too?
Well, it's a process. So, for example, one of our big clients right now, it's a major university. We're working with one specific department at that university. And the way I work is I do an assessment first, which includes a lot of interviews as well as the survey. And then we take all that data and develop an action plan to solve whatever shows up in this assessment that we do. Then we create an action plan that corresponds directly with resolving those issues that come up. I work with a team of employees as well as leadership. So I'm often coaching leadership along the way as we make a culture shift. Obviously, they're an important part of a culture shift, but they're not the ones executing the action plan. They're executing parts of it, but the action team, which is made up of employees, they're the ones who create the action plan as well as are responsible for executing most of it so that the change comes from the ground up.
Ah, so the employees have buy-in and say, and they have a say in the matter. That's pretty important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So the book that you wrote a little while back, it's called Back Off, Your Kick-Ass Guide to Indian Bullying at Work. And Ken Blanchard stated that the most comprehensive and valuable handbook on the topic. So tell me about that book. What does it provide the readers?
Yeah, you know, that book was in response to the same situation I was talking about earlier, where I was online and it just seemed like there was no good news for someone who felt bullied. Everybody was telling you know, everyone else in these chat rooms that there's no chance that you'll get out alive, so you should quit. Back Off was my first sort of attack on that conversation and trying to help people understand that it doesn't have to be so dire. So Back Off it's got an academic base to it. It's a lot of academic research, so I tried to write it pretty easy, you know, as an easy reading. But ultimately, if you feel bullied, then I recommend my book, Back Off. It is basically the steps that you should take. It's very logical, you know, tangible action items. It has a worksheet in it for things that you'll want to know the answers to before you meet with HR to talk about being bullied. So it's meant to really be a very, you know, actionable sort of guide to talking about being bullied, to talking to the organization about it, the suggestions that you could make to HR for resolving this problem for you. And then, of course, one piece of advice, if you've tried all of this stuff and it didn't work, then you should leave. You know, you're the only one who can protect your dignity. But so that's what Back Off is. It's just a very logical guide with a lot of actions that you could take to try to resolve the problem.
So that's really good. So you're providing solutions, not just one fit all solution. You're providing solutions that would help a person who's being bullied. And it's, there's nothing wrong if the person needs to leave, if it's a toxic environment and the management's not going to change or they're not going to listen to the employee. It's very commendable for the person to move on. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. You know, just to kind of comment on that, going back to the stand up, speak out book. We are actually taking the stories that we collected to do some academic publications with those stories. And so I am working with a couple other professors, Jerry Carbo from Shippensburg University and Stacy Ty Williams from Iowa State University. We are analyzing the stories to really understand why these people who submitted their stories claim that they're survivors and that they've been victorious. We want to understand, you know, what's different about them. And so the one thing that we've noticed is everybody defines success very differently. So I think part of where the conversation needs to change is that everybody talks about success in one way. And that one option for success is that you tell HR, the bully is reprimanded and, you know, then maybe fired. Or another version of success is that the person quits, but then they're able to sue and they win. You know, it's like we really define success as this very specific way. And what we learned in these stories is that success is not that. In fact, only one of the authors in these stories sued and won. So all of the other stories, what makes people successful is they decided to change their life. And so it was a mental decision. It was not that something happened in the organization. It was their own choice to change. Some of them decided to stay in the organization actually and fight. And to them, that's success, but they're still there fighting a good fight, protecting other people. Others were fired, like myself. I was let go of the organization because my performance was suffering so much. Mm-hmm. But look at me, I'm out here claiming to be victorious because of where I'm at now. You know, I thank this person who gave me something to be passionate about. And so, you know, that's what I'm trying to do here. Is that I think we need to really reexamine what does success mean, and it might mean that you just change your mind and decide to take control back. And that's success.
Yeah, you know? I like that. I like that a lot, Catherine. And I liked how you talked about, in my own words, you know, sometimes your gifts come in ugly wrapping paper. They fired you because your work was suffering. Well, naturally, everybody's work suffers when they're being mistreated or demeaned or bullied or discriminated. Mm-hmm. And it has a profound effect on them. Their well-being, their mental health, and it could just stick around for many, many years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I know you've been on the NPR, Fox, NBC, and ABC as an expert. Usually you have just a snippet of time. What's your message when you get on these networks?
I'm always speaking to employers about, you know, taking this seriously and understanding that bullying causes a lot of damage. I believe it's employers' moral and ethical responsibility to create an environment where people feel healthy and safe and where they can thrive. I think that it has a lot of impact on your community. If I have a bunch of employees who hate coming to work, then they take that negativity out into the community versus if I have a company where I have a bunch of employees who love being here, they take that out to the community. So I think there's a real ripple effect to our work environment. And so I'm just always trying to, make it clear that this is something that needs to be put a stop to. And unfortunately, as you know, being in HR too, it's not illegal to have bullying in your organization. And so unfortunately, there are a lot of employers out there who maybe don't take it as seriously versus if it was something like harassment. And even then, I mean, there's a lot of cases of harassment going on for a long time, even though that's illegal. So I think, unfortunately, businesses get too caught up in the money, which I understand. I'm in business and I ultimately need to make money. That's, obviously one of my goals, but you still have to treat people well in doing that. So those are the kinds of messages I'm out there saying when I'm on things like NPR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. I really do. Because as you brought up, Catherine, it's bullying is not illegal, but you brought up harassment. And I know this from many years working in HR. Harassment is actually a form of discrimination. So if somebody's listening to this message, this episode, you can go to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission website, and I'll give you that website. It's EEOC.gov, and just type in the search harassment discrimination. It will tell you if your organization qualifies. When I say qualify, there has to be so many people. I believe it's 15 people, that your company has to have 15 people or more. And most federal agencies have more than 15 people. And so you could go on and read the terms, the qualifying indicators that have to do with harassment. And I know with companies, corporations, even agencies, is that if a company meets the criteria for harassment discrimination, the top person, CEO, can be held accountable. So you're getting the word out, and that's really awesome. What are you working on right now? You mentioned Jerry Carbo. I know that name. And you're working on studying everybody's stories, their victories, and how they're doing it. But what else are you working on? Anything else that would be interesting to the listeners?
Oh, just working with a lot of clients on creating better work environments. That's my main thing. So part of what I do in my experience in working with these HR folks who can't always get the C-suite on board with some of the things that they feel they want to do or that need to be done, we do try to do a lot of, I call it HR ninja work, where we try to give HR some tools that they can use that don't cost a lot of money that will at least help them make a dent in the environment, because they may not be able to get the C-suite to say, let's spend a bunch of time and money on engagement or building a positive work environment. So anyway, one of the things we've got out that we're just working on releasing, it's called Engagement in a Box, and it is over 50 worksheets, checklists, job aids, scripts. It's a bunch of forms that you can download as an HR professional or even a manager, and just kind of take these forms that you're probably already using in your organization, but they have a twist of engagement to them. So for example, one of the documents is 19 questions that managers can ask in their one-on-ones that are going to help build engagement and build rapport. We have a performance evaluation form in there. So you probably already have performance evaluation form, but our form has this twist of engagement in it, or puts your performance evaluations in this context of engagement. So, it's basically a bunch of documents you can download to help you push on engagement a little bit, which of course will ultimately help resolve bullying if you have a more engaged work environment. So that's something we've got. It's only $147 for all of these documents, so it's a pretty good deal. Something else we're working on is called the Culture Makeover Masterclass. That is basically my consulting method in an online class. So if you were to hire me to help you change your culture, that's obviously an investment, but you can learn how to do it yourself in this online course. So that's really meant for those smaller organizations that may not have the kind of money needed to go through a whole cultural overhaul with a consultant. So, just both of these products are meant to provide access to some of the things you need to create a positive work environment.
Yes, you have been busy. I can see. So,
Yeah.
this is one career field where you stay very busy, and even if you don't want to, right? Yeah. So, I have met a gentleman in Dallas. He's in Dallas, Texas. His name is Jason True, and he really gets into vulnerability in the workplace. He's a big fan of Brené Brown, which, if anybody's listening, you can look up Brené Brown. And she talks about vulnerability and engagement. So, Catherine, my question to you is, what are your thoughts on vulnerability, employees being vulnerable with each other?
I think that is brilliant. And I talk a lot about that as well, where I use the word emotions. But here's my theory. Part of the reason 75% of people who feel harassed never report it to their manager or HR is because of retaliation, right? So that's a stat that's been put out there by the EEOC. 75% of people who feel harassed never report it because they fear retaliation. Well, I think we need to examine that a little bit deeper. Why are they afraid of retaliation if every organization out there has a policy prohibiting retaliation? Well, part of the answer is that being harassed or bullied is a very emotional experience, but talking about it is meant to be very logical. And so at work, we are supposed to talk very logically. We're supposed to speak very action-oriented. You know, everything is about goals. Here's my action items for the day. You know, here's my sales quota. Everything is very quantifiable, you know, action-oriented kind of the language. But being harassed and bullied is very emotional. It leaves you vulnerable, to use that word. And so I do absolutely believe that part of resolving the problem of bullying and harassment is that we have to make room for emotion at work. We have to feel more comfortable to be emotional, to be vulnerable in order to solve the problem. And so I talk about that when I'm doing these culture overhauls with companies that part of the solution is being emotional about it and letting people be emotional. So I absolutely agree with that.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm all for it myself too. So your target audience tends to be leadership, HR personnel, but let's say an employee reaches out to you and he or she says, "I am getting my butt kicked at work." What would you do for them, or where would you point them to?
You know, I hate to sell something, but I often tell them that I poured my heart and soul into my book Back Off. So anything I would say on the phone to them is honestly in that book. But the main pieces of advice are to take documentation as much as you can. You know, keep track of what's going on. Save any tangible documents you can. If you got a nasty email, for example, hang on to those kinds of things. And then when you speak to HR, I recommend, and this is all in this worksheet that's in my book, Back Off, you know, you have to think about what you want from that conversation. So, and here we are back to this conversation around emotions. When you go to HR, you have to try to keep it focused on the business case. So the fact that you feel sad or hurt by being bullied is not a business case. HR needs you to say, I've witnessed this person yell at a customer. I've witnessed that people waste time after staff meetings because of the bullying. You know, they waste time talking about it. You know, I can see it's hurting production. And so if you can figure out the kinds of organizational damage that the bullying is causing, you're arming HR with more information so that they can get permission to help you resolve it. If HR goes to their CEO and says, you know, John feels hurt by Susan's behavior, the CEO is going to say they need to grow up and get over it. If HR can go and say, you know, hey, Susan's picking on John and he and also other people, and this is what he's witnessed. You know, if you have a business case for it, it really helps HR. But you also have to think about what you want. You know, are you just telling HR just because? Do do you want HR to take action? Are you looking for this person to get a talking to? What is it that you're looking for? And you need to be able to articulate that to HR. And I have a lot of other kinds of things to think about before you go into HR. I think you need to have solutions. You know, go in there and say, here's what I've tried to resolve it myself, but it hasn't worked. So that's why I'm in your office and looking for guidance from you. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of advice that I give. And it's all in back office.
Yeah, I like that. Is before you go and say, here's the issue, here's the problem, you're saying, hey, I've already tried to address it, but it's taken me to coming to you for help. So I hear it all the time. Yeah. I don't trust HR. What's your advice on somebody who does not know if they can trust their HR department if they go for help?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a fair statement. And I don't really have an answer for you, because I agree that it's a fair statement. And what I see and believe is that there's two kinds of HR people. There are HR people who think more about the person, and they see their role as, you know, to protect the people and to ensure that people are doing their best because they understand it is better for the organization. And then there's HR people who are too caught up in compliance, which I get. I was a director of HR. It's easy to get bogged down with the sick time and making sure people clock in and out and take their lunch and benefits and stuff. So there's these two kinds of HR people. If you have an HR person who's more compliance focused, I understand why you would not trust them. They won't know how to help you, probably. Mm-hmm. Versus if you have an HR person that's more focused on people. So that may be a question you need to ask yourself first. Before you just go straight to saying, I don't trust them, think about their actions and the kinds of things they're doing in the organization. Do they appear to be more people focused? And if they are, you probably can trust them, because they probably will understand that this needs to be resolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how you summed that up. If they're people, you know, I know two or three times I've nearly been fired for standing up for employees, and they were in the right. And I know HR, as being part of management, oftentimes they are in a tough spot. Sometimes their hands are tied, and they also fear retaliation too. So, mm-hmm. Wow, we could go on talking, but in wrapping up, Catherine, I appreciate you being on the show. Tell the listeners how they can contact you if somebody wants to hire you, if they want to find your books. Where can we find your books? If you'd list your books, maybe some events you have going on, your website, any contact information you'd like to share with the listeners.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity to share that. My website is just civilitypartners.com. You can contact me through my website there. Our address here is info@civilitypartners.com. I also recommend signing up for one of my many ebooks that are there on my website. All of them will lead you to being on my e-newsletter. And I do a ton of free webinars on a variety of topics around positive work environments. We have one coming up towards the end of July, for example, that's about employee engagement programs that really transcend the generations. How do you create engagement in each of the age categories? So we do offer a lot of free content. My husband tells me I offer too much content. Me trying to save the world. So
he might be right.
I do give a lot of it away for free. Yeah. So go to my website, sign up for any of the ebooks that are of interest to you, and you will end up on my e-news, and then you'll learn about our webinars and all that kind of stuff. So feel free to reach out.
Yeah, fantastic. And I appreciate you being so willing to share and being transparent on the show. It's very important that other people that are listening in, that if they're being bullied right now, or they've just been through the bullying process, that they know that there's hope for them. And I know sometimes I go by my old workplace and I just smile at them because they severely bullied me. And, you know, it's brought me to be who I am today doing this advocacy, and it's brought you to do the advocacy you're doing. So where do you hope to be in 5 years, Catherine, with your work?
I'd like to just be in more organizations, because that means those organizations care about solving the problem, you know? So the more the more organizations I can get into, the more impact I can have. So just going to keep plugging away at that.
Now, also, where can listeners get a hold of your books? You have, how many books do you have?
All three of the books.
All three. Okay,
I have three. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I back off. I have one called Seeking Civility that's more for managers and HR on resolving bullying. And then we've got the Stand Up Speak Out. They're all three on Amazon, but you can also locate them on my website. They're just in the book section on my website. You can take a look at them there. So easy enough.
Awesome. Really good. So we have a great resource here. If you're listening in to find some help, find out, you know, the victories and the testimonies from people who have survived workplace bullying, there is a potential not only just to survive, but to thrive. And you're doing that today. So any last words before we end this conversation?
My last words are for employers, as always. You know, it's your responsibility to create an environment where people thrive. It's your duty. You wanted to have a business and create a product or a service, that's great. But the people who work for you are more important than anything else. And there's a real community impact with the way people feel when they're in your workplace. They take those feelings out into your community. So there's a lot of ways to create a positive work environment that don't require a huge budget or a bunch of time. You have to care about this topic of bullying. And, there's a lot of resources. I'm one of them. And those are my final words.
Awesome. Again, I just say awesome because it's all great stuff, information. So glad to have you on the show, Catherine. Listeners, check out
Thank
her
you.
Books, check out her website, contact her. And if you're an employee, be sure to, you know, look at the books that she's provided. Her ebooks are free, or is it the webinars are free? And
both
of them are free. Yeah. So it's a win-win, whether somebody can afford to hire you or not, they have a resource that they can reach out to. And that's pretty exciting. Yeah. So
yep, thank you.
Thank you so much, Catherine, for being on the show. I'm really proud to be part of your journey with this book, Stand Up, Speak Out Against Workplace Bullying. There's one of the other co-authors in the book is Rosemary Vieira, who lives in Asheville, North Carolina. I was so excited she took part in your book. So again, thanks for being on the show. To our listeners, stay tuned to the next episode of The Empowered Whistleblower. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to The Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas, and be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.